Ken Berardi is on a mission. The entire Y is on a mission, actually, to make Quincy a drowning prevention community. So, Ken, thanks for coming over. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Joe. I appreciate it.
Really timely topic, fortunately and unfortunately, right? Fortunately, because we do have the skills to teach people how to swim.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Unfortunately, because a lot of folks are getting into the water that don't have those skills.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've seen an unprecedented amount of tragic drownings recently, and our thoughts and prayers go out to the families impacted by those. It's incredibly important that we really make a community push to ensure that people are getting the water safety swim lessons and water safety instruction that can help prevent tragic incidents like that. We believe that drownings are preventable through those means. And we are on a mission to provide that to as many people as possible and to make the community more aware of it and to make sure that it is a part of normal life, that swim lessons are a near requirement to life. They should not be a privilege. It should be universal for everyone to partake in swim lessons.
Especially, we're in a coastal community, you know, in the summer months. A lot of folks, it's the number one, I'm sure, destination is going to the beach. What is the number one mistake that people make when it comes to water safety? You know, what aren't they doing?
Yeah, there's several big factors, but for children, one of the biggest things is asking permission before going into a body of water. If we can instill that at a very young age, that, like putting on a seatbelt, as one of my colleagues says, it should be second nature to ask for permission before getting into any body of water. And then in combination with many other things, we need to make sure that there's supervision. And that comes from adults and the entire community at large, even on beaches or bodies of water that are protected by lifeguards. Mm-hmm. We need to remember that the lifeguards are a piece of the water safety community, but they cannot be relied upon 100% because it is all of our responsibilities to make sure that people are water safe, and that we need to make sure that everyone is a part of that safety team, so to speak, and never assume that someone else is watching.
Okay. That's good, and don't put all your, you know, eggs in one basket. It's one lifeguard for, what, probably 100 yards of beach with hundreds of people to keep an eye on, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And they're trained to scan over 10 seconds their area of protection. So there is moments where they're not looking at an individual person. Yeah. They're not babysitters, so to speak. They are there for emergency purposes, and we want to make sure that parents and the community, when you're ever around a body of water, never assume that someone else is going to take care of it for you. You should all be paying attention, watching the people in the water, whether it be children or adults, and looking for the very subtle signs of drowning.
Which are not what you'd expect they would be, right? It's not like a Hollywood movie.
That is correct, yes. Hollywood, unfortunately, sometimes desensitizes us to what drownings actually look like or sound like. They're often portrayed as loud, thrashing, splashing incidents. And unfortunately, most cases, drownings are near silent, minimal to no splashing, and they simply slip under the water. And are not able to communicate that they're in distress. Yeah. And that is why supervision is incredibly important in those scenarios.
We've seen a shortage of lifeguards, some incentives that are, you know, being thrown out there to try and attract folks to take those positions. Are you seeing the same situation at the Y in terms of instructors?
Absolutely, really? Yeah. So we've had a shortage due to this past year and everything that we've gone through with COVID-19 and the staffing problems that have come from that. But nationally, there is a shortage of qualified lifeguards and swim instructors. And it is incredibly important to us to make sure that we are keeping our bodies of water safe. And the state has done a very good job with getting lifeguards in positions to keep the bodies of water safe as well. And in particular with swim instructors, we encourage the community to be a part of the water safety process. And what better way than to become a swim instructor to give back to the community. We believe that anyone can become a swim instructor through training, and that they can give back to their community in a very positive way that can save lives.
What programs are offered at the Y?
So we offer a plethora of programs for people to partake in swim lessons or water safety instruction.
Oh, okay. So you actually will train folks to be water safety instructors?
Absolutely. Okay. It's part of our education process within our swim lesson program as well, teaching a lot of the things that we just discussed about asking permission and things. So the South Shore YMCA Swim Academy, in partnership with Powers Aquatics, starts as early as 2 months old.
And 2 months?
2 months, yes. Wow. Getting them in very quickly. You're never too young to start swim lessons, and you're never too old as well. Yeah. We want to encourage everyone to partake in swim lessons and water safety. So we offer parent-child swim lessons through the South Shore YMCA Swim Academy in partnership with Powers Aquatics from ages 2 months to 36 months. And we have our swim academy lessons from 3 years to 6 years for our preschool and 6 years to 12 years for our youth. And then we have adult lessons that go from 13 to infinite.
Okay.
And we have had 90-year-olds in our program before that have learned to swim at that age.
For the first time?
For the first time.
Wow.
Most of them are people who have experienced a traumatic incident as a child in the water and were too fearful to go back in.
Yeah.
And they made that decision very late in life to try again.
Okay.
And they were very happy that they did.
Yeah.
But we believe that no matter how old you are, no matter where you are on that age range, and for parents especially, if you think it's too late for your child to learn swimming, which we see a lot for 8, 9, 10, up to 14 years old, parents think, well, it's too late. It's never too late.
Yeah.
We need to get these kids into swim lessons and, again, the water safety instruction and teaching kids how to be safer around water and making sure that they become a part of the water safety community.
Well, I would think the more people that know how to be safe around the water, the safer the water is going to be, right? If you have a beach full of folks who have been through, say, the academy and know what to look for, then they're essentially our lifeguards, right, at that point.
Yes, more or less. Yeah. I wouldn't necessarily say they're lifeguards.
Or they could notify, they could recognize a problem and notify a lifeguard.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's the biggest thing. It's recognition, seeing a problem, mm-hmm. and being able to communicate to someone and call for help.
Right.
So we have a process that we call call, reach, throw, don't go.
Yes.
And that process is incredibly important to make sure that we are keeping bodies of water safe. And the call is to make sure that if someone is having trouble in the water and you're going to try to assist them, that you communicate that to a lifeguard or any other adult, mm-hmm. or somebody to make sure that they can call 911 or just communicate with as many people as possible to get as many hands on deck, so to speak.
Time is critical, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Every second counts in a potential drowning situation.
Yeah.
And early intervention is incredibly important for the ability to have a positive outcome.
You need to get CPR going if that's needed immediately, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we encourage adults, ages, and not even adults, ages 14 and up, really, and as early as we can get them in, to take CPR, first aid, AED certifications.
Mm-hmm.
And we do offer those at the YMCA. And we believe it's very important for as many people as possible to be able to have that certification and know those skills. We hear stories all the time around the country of people that are at pool parties and a tragic incident happens.
Yeah.
And thankfully, we sometimes see that there are people at those pools that know CPR and are able to make a life-saving decision to step in and use that
after learning. They've called.
Of course.
Call, reach, throw, don't go. So don't become a victim yourself, basically.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The reach and throw is incredibly important, especially for young people, and this is part of our water safety instruction that we do, making sure that we are reaching out, preferably laying on our bellies when we do it, because we don't want to be pulled in ourselves.
Okay.
If you're standing without a strong stance, you can be pulled in. So a low center of gravity, laying flat, reaching out with something to the person that's struggling to try to pull them into the wall or pull them into to an area where they can stand.
Right, yeah.
And if they're unable to grab that, you know, that's when something would have to escalate from there.
Okay.
And if they're too far and you don't have an object that can reach far enough to them, we throw an object, something that floats, that they're going to be able to grab onto to temporarily give them some assist so that we can get more help to them.
Just keep their head above water, basically, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. A beach ball, a cooler, and a flotation device, ideally.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. And it's really important that we teach people not to go if you are not certified or trained to be able to handle that.
Yeah.
Tragically, a lot of the things that we see are what we call multi-victim situations, where someone goes to try to assist somebody that is drowning.
Yes.
And the natural instinct for somebody that is in the process of drowning is almost superhuman strength. They will cling on to anything that they can get their hands onto, and often that's the person trying to save them.
Yeah.
And lifeguards, for instance, people probably see them wearing the tubes.
Mm-hmm.
They have lifeguard tubes which can support varying weights, but around 200 pounds of weight to assist with a rescue.
Okay.
But if people aren't prepared for that person to grab onto them, it can quickly become a multi-victim situation.
Yeah, we saw that with the police officer out in Worcester, unfortunately.
Yes, yes. Very tragic.
How do you kind of assess somebody's swimming abilities, Ken? You know, when you first somebody first comes to you, how do you kind of determine the benchmark for where they are and, you know, where they need to be?
Yeah, we have different subcategories, so to speak, of swimmers when we identify them. We, at the Social YMCA, have kind of a pre-screened list of for parents to go over to be able to identify what levels their children should be in. And really it's split into non-swimmers and independent swimmers, as we call them. Independent swimmers doesn't necessarily mean that they are water safe, but it means that they can at least self-propel them and keep their heads afloat. And we break it down like that so that we can get them in a swim level that is most effective for their learning and what they need to progress and learn next. And the first things that we teach are how to save themselves if they ever accidentally fell into a body of water.
Right.
We teach a skill called swim, float, swim. And that is a very basic skill of swimming with your head up for as long as you can, or moderately, until you feel tired, and then rolling on your back to recover, floating on your back.
Right. Yep.
And that is incredibly important for people to understand, because if we can train that at a very young age to people, they will be able to help themselves while there is help on the way to them. And we train them to also come back to the edge or the wall or the beach in that process. So as they do swim, float, swim, they're also returning to a safe position.
Okay. It's key. How important is it for somebody to know their own abilities, you know, in the water?
It's incredibly important.
Yeah.
Too often we see people who maybe haven't been in the water often enough, or in this particular case this past year, have long stretches of time in between water excursions, so to speak. And as well, we need to see people be honest with themselves when it comes to swimming, because we don't want people to be going into a body of water that are weak or not the strongest swimmers in the world. It's important for them to identify that, okay, I need to be in an area that is supervised, or I need to be with other people, or I need to stay in a shallow area.
Right. Yeah.
And when it comes to boating or water water activities, wearing personal flotation device that are U.S. Coast Guard certified. And we really want to get the message out to the community that do not swim in areas that are not made for swimming,
yes,
or that are not designated swimming areas. A lot of the drownings that we are seeing are in areas that there are steep drop-offs,
yep,
that are either marked or unmarked, and people wade out into the water, and then they quickly drop off, and it's in over their head, and they think that they're able to stand and everything's okay, but then one step in the wrong direction, unfortunately, can end in tragedy.
Right.
We want to encourage people to be aware of that.
Yeah, just yesterday, the governor put forth some legislation to increase fines as hopefully a deterrent, you know, for folks who are swimming in undesignated areas. It's something. I mean, it'll, if nothing else, call attention, you know, to the issue. Whether or not it's effective or not remains to be seen. But something a lot of folks don't take into account is the impact of substances that they may be using or drinking before they go into the water, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Yes. I was just reading an article recently about how a lot of young adult drowning incidents, 25 to about 50% of them involve drug or substance of some kind, or alcohol, and that is because of obvious impairment to their decision and physical ability, and they potentially put themselves in a very risky situation that their bodies are not 100% able to be safe,
right,
with.
Yeah.
And we want to encourage people to be incredibly safe, particularly this weekend. Historically,
yes,
the 4th of July weekend, as we're all celebrating Independence Day and going out and seeing our family and our friends and groups and gatherings, to make sure that we are being as safe as possible, and know that if you are enjoying yourself, just be as safe as possible,
mm-hmm,
and maybe avoid swimming if that's what you're partaking in this weekend.
Something else folks don't take into account, I think, especially around here, especially this time of year, is the water temperature in the ocean, and as you mentioned, the underwater topography as well. But cold water, what happens to your body, you know, when you get into a cold body of water?
Yeah, there's several things that can happen in cold water that are very detrimental to your swimming ability.
Yeah.
Initially, when you first enter cold water, there's almost a gasp reflex.
That's right.
If you,
yeah,
enter too quickly, and you can actually inhale water very quickly,
mm-hmm,
if you are suddenly in cold water, you'll gasp and breathe in water. Other than that, your body starts to react very quickly to cold water, especially around here in New England, where
yeah,
we know our water
is
cold.
Not Bermuda, so yeah.
And what happens is your muscles start to seize up.
Yep.
Your brain starts to shut down, and you can't make logical decisions, and your body will just not work the way you want it to, and it will slow down to the point where you can't keep yourself afloat anymore.
Yeah.
Hyperthermia is very common in these water temperatures around here as well, so it's very important to understand the water temperature that you're going to be going in, as well as the air temperature as well. That is an incredibly important factor. And even when you get out of the water, hypothermia can be an issue if the air temperature is not very high.
Yeah, we've all got out and started shivering because it's been so cold, absolutely. Call, reach, throw, don't go. I want to really emphasize that.
Absolutely.
And ask permission before you go into the water, for children.
Absolutely.
Those two big things. Are there openings still at the aquatics programs at the Y?
So there are some openings.
Okay.
We are seeing a very large amount of registrations right now. My goal this week is to open up more programming for swim lessons.
Okay.
And in the process, bringing back a lot of more instructors.
Great.
To make sure that we're having the programs available to the community. And keep checking back in. I will always try to add more and more classes. We do not want to have any barriers, whether it be not enough classes available or finances,
mm-hmm,
even. As you know, the Social YMCA is a charitable organization,
yep,
and we are committed to breaking down financial barriers for life-saving programs like swim lessons.
That's great. Good luck in making Quincy a drowning prevention community, especially this weekend.
Thank you, Chip.
Appreciate it, Ken. Good to talk to you.
I appreciate you having me on.
You're very welcome.